damn right we're going to talk about baseball today. Because the National League Championship Series underway. The Dodgers hammered the Mets last night, 9-0. The American League Championship Series gets its start tonight. The top two teams over in the AL, by the way, the two teams with the bye in the American League, both combating for the ticket to the World Series over on that side of the equation. All of that coming up tonight, and we are going to address the games of the weekend and get you set up for the championship series on both sides coming up later today. We got to get to NASCAR. We had a little breaking news last night out of the world of NASCAR that changed the drivers that have made it to the third round of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. We're going to talk some racing later on in the show. And of course, a ton of collegiate and National Football League over the next couple of hours, not couple, trace 3 hours of the show. So I hope you'll stick with us. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you as we start hour number two of the Rob Brown radio program. All the different ways you can get in touch with the show. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can shoot us a text at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet everybody up in here at The Fan Upstate if you want to come at us in that direction. And, of course, don't forget about the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page on the Audacy app, which is free to put on all your digital devices. Go to the Fan Upstate page. On the middle of that page, there's a little microphone button. You click on that little microphone button, and you can drop a 60-second voice message that comes directly to the great one. And I go to the Audacy app. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click on that microphone button, drop that 60-second note. We got a couple over the weekend. One I'm going to screen during the break from Drew in Greenville, South Carolina. That came in, great one, Saturday night at 11:09 p.m. I'm very excited to hear what Drew had to say. Also got one from Greg in Lyman at 6:50 a.m. on Friday morning.
I'm going to guess the Saturday night one had something to do with the Ohio State game, because that's about, you know,
that or
when it was over.
That is about when it's over. It is very possible that that is Ohio State-Oregon related, which we're going to talk about that game in a few minutes. It's also very possible that that's a Gamecock fan who had to get over the disappointment, but wanted to point the cannons directly at me. And by the way, deserved, earned, justified, warranted. Gamecock fans, the line's open. I take my crow medium rare. We're going to talk about all of that and more. But it's 7:04 in the morning. You're less than 56 minutes away from having to get clocked in and locked in at the office. And when you do, you're going to be talking sports. And if you're going to be talking sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you've got to know what's going on in the world of sports, don't you worry. Lonzo and I are here to inform you, educate, enlighten you with this. Hit him with the old double meow. The old twofer meow.
Just to send it out a rallying cry for some, because we haven't talked about a certain team yet. So.
Haven't yet. Am going to. Did exactly what they were supposed to do. We're going to come to that here in just a minute from right now, but let us dive right into the water cooler cheat sheet. The top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this morning, with item number one. Your new AP Top 25 poll is out, and it is nearly a mirror image of the AFCA coaches poll. Here's how they are stacked up. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, yes, it's true. It's damn true. Army and Navy are both ranked. Hell yeah! Navy sneaking in at 25. Michigan at 24. 23, Army. The boys are here. The service academies are electrifying right now. 25, Navy. 24, Michigan. 23, Army. Just ahead of Army, Illinois checks in at 22. SMU, SMU at 21. And Pitt at 20. Couple of ACC squads inside the top 25. Mizzou at 5-1 is 19, up a couple of spots, down 9 positions after their second loss of the season are the Ole Miss Running Rebels, number 18. 17, Kansas State gets to bump up a notch after knocking off Colorado this weekend. Indiana is still undefeated, dude. That's you know why they're undefeated? Because they win. Google them. Boise State. Ashton Janti is a dude. 5-1 at number 15. Texas A&M up a spot to 14. BYU up a spot to 13. Despite not losing a game, Notre Dame does fall another position down to number 12. Tennessee, after a close win over Florida, down 3 spots to 11. Clemson will stay put at number 10, 5-1, Clemson inside the top 10, but they were unable to move up despite a dominating victory over Wake Forest. They get jumped not once but twice. The Iowa State Cyclones now ahead of the Clemson Tigers by just 2 total points, by the way, which is like one dude's vote somewhere way down the line. LSU moves up 5 positions after their win at home over Ole Miss. They are now number 8. Bama stays put at 7. Miami stays put at 6. Georgia stays put at 5. Ohio State takes the L to the Oregon Ducks, but great one. It could have been way worse. You fall only 2 spots down to number 4.
You shocked by that? Because I thought it would be somewhere between 6 and 8.
I thought they were going to put you at least behind Georgia. I really did. I thought they were going to look and go, you know what the biggest help in the world was for you? Vanderbilt in South Carolina.
I was going to say, I think the biggest help was people actually watched that game.
Yep.
I mean, that could have went either way.
Georgia Georgia losing to Bama, but Bama turning around and losing to Vanderbilt and then getting into a absolute slobber knocker with South Carolina helps Ohio State stay inside the top 5 at number 4 after the L. Penn State does jump the Buckeyes up to number 3. Oregon has 6 of the 62 first place votes after they win at home, Autzen Stadium, over the Ohio State University Buckeyes. Texas blast Oklahoma. 56 of the 62 first place votes belong to the Longhorns, who stay at number 1. Over in the coaches poll, Tennessee is number 10, Clemson at 9, up a pair of spots, LSU at 8, up a couple of spots, Bama also at 7, Miami also at 6, Georgia does leap Ohio State. In the coaches poll, the Buckeyes fell 2 spots in the top 25, they fall 3 spots in the coaches poll down to number 5, Georgia is at number 4. Penn State leaps Ohio State and Georgia to number 3. Oregon second in the coaches poll with 2 first place votes. And Texas has 53 of the 55 first place votes in the coaches poll. So they check in at number 1. Over in the AP poll, Vanderbilt just on the outside, 68 first place votes. The doors are a dub away from being ranked. Yes, those doors. Clark Lee's Vanderbilt Commodores, a vote away from being ranked. Nebraska, Arizona State, Oklahoma, Washington State, Iowa, Texas Tech, Syracuse, Arkansas, Utah, Louisville, USC, Liberty, and UNLV on the outside looking in for the AP poll. Oklahoma, Arizona State, Navy, Utah, Vandy, Syracuse, UNLV, Iowa, Texas Tech, Liberty, Washington State, Memphis, James Madison, and Tulane just on the outside looking in the coaches
poll. I just looked it up. The first CFP is November 5th.
Okay, a couple weeks out.
Yep. Because I definitely would be interested if it would have been out this week, how they would have ranked it.
Do not disagree at all. Let's go to item number 2. Scoreboard in the NFL included a game for the Carolina Panthers, divisional game last night as the Atlanta Falcons came a-calling to Charlotte, North Carolina, and it went pretty much about as I think how you'd expect it to with a banged up Carolina defense. 38-20, your final, the first game in a minute that the Atlanta Falcons weren't pressed to the wall inside the fourth quarter of this one. Kirk Cousins, 19 of 30, 225 and a tutty, but it was the ground game for the ATL that won in this game. 105 yards from Tyler Allgeier. He had a touchdown on the ground. Bijan Robinson had 95 yards on 15 carries, averaged over 6 yards per carry, had a couple of tutties as well. The Falcons, 198 rushing yards, and if it wasn't for two Kirk Cousins sacks that resulted in negative 5 yards, the Falcons would have crossed the double century mark against the Carolina defense. Andy Dalton, 26 of 38, 221, a pair of tutties, a pair of picks in this one. Carolina did rush the ball for 114 yards, 92 of them from Chuba Hubbard, but they did not punch one in on the ground. 78 yards of receiving for Deontay Johnson on 6 grabs. He had a touchdown. Xavier Leggett had 23 yards, but one of them a 13-yard reception inside the painted grass to score one as well.
I watched the game and I'm thinking, you know, I never thought they would win, but there were moments that looked pretty good, all things considered. I mean, the fact that they, you know, half the team is on IR.
Seriously, dude, it's a mass unit right now. I mean, guys down everywhere. Look, and we're gonna hear from J.C. Horn coming up during the audio blitz in an hour from now, his thoughts on this game. And I don't ordinarily do this because NFL football players get paid way too much for me to feel bad for them. But I kind of listen to JC's comments and I'm like, I feel bad for this cat, right? Like this seems so damn banged up. I don't know what they can do right now. This team's so jacked up right now. 38-20, your final in that one. The other NFC South matchup, Spencer Rattler got his first start for our New Orleans Saints. And the Saints defense let Tampa put 50 freaking one up on them. Karma from weeks 1 and 2, where the Saints made everybody think maybe they're okay. No, they're not. They're not. As I've said a whole bunch of time,
looked promising going into halftime.
It looked bad. First half had like 150 yards and a pretty good completion percentage. And by the way, I say all that, Zoe. Olave took a concussion and again on a ball that he caught, but then he fumbled and dropped it. You put that one on. He also had, Juwan Johnson coming across the middle and put one right in his hands that he dropped. There were, I think if I recall correctly, there were 4 drops in this game from New Orleans that coulda, shoulda, woulda been big gainers or at least middle gainers. Olave catches one. Rattler's over 250 yards. Juwan catches the one across the middle in the first half that ended a drive. Rat's probably closer to 270, and one of those picks comes off the board. Spencer Rattler was, and I again, you guys know that I assign credit and blame to the offense, not the quarterback. The offense let Spencer Rattler down in this game. As a Saints fan, I'm calling it as I see it. The wide receivers in particular let Rattler down in this game. Spencer Rattler's final number was 22 of 40, 243, a touch and a pick. Rattler's number should have been, Lonzo, probably closer to 26 of 40 for 290, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. There was 1 pick that was just a bad throw. It was just a bad throw, but as I had to remind some of my Saints fans yesterday, my guy is making his first NFL start behind a patchwork offensive line on effectively 5 days of notice. Yeah, he's not going to look like Dan Marino.
I was going to ask you, did he have better protection yesterday or when he played for South Carolina?
No. See, none of the above. It's just bad. All right, very quickly, let's go through.
I just meant that because he's used to not having protection in front of him.
Oh, no, for sure. He had to lean on that experience yesterday, as the Saints offensive line is a hospital ward right now. Item number 3. Baseball playoff championship series underway. We got started with the National League Championship Series last night, and then we didn't get started at all. At least the New York Mets did not. 9-0. The Dodgers hammer New York in game number one. Kodai Senga was the starting pitcher for the Mets. Left after just four outs, he surrendered two hits and three earned runs before he got yanked. He threw only 30 pitches, and only, I think, 20 of them were strikes. At the end of the day, something was wrong with Kodai Senga. Remember, Senga pitched one game in the regular season. He threw one against the Braves all the way back in July, made his postseason debut in the Mets divisional round series in game number one, and he had the Mets fans super hyped, but he was not clearly not ready yesterday. Do not know if we'll see Senga again in the postseason. Effectively turned that into a bullpen game for the New York Mets and effectively cost them the game because the bullpen could not keep up with the Dodgers starters. Jack Flaherty, 7 innings pitched, surrendered just 2 hits. Cade 6 threw 98 pitches. The Dodgers racked up 9 hits in this one. No Dingus. Didn't want him. Didn't need him. 3 RBIs from Mookie Betts. Shohei had a 2-hit day, including an RBI. Freddie had a 2-hit day, including an RBI. And Enrique Hernandez had a 2-hit day, and he had a couple of other 1-hit days sprinkled in there for the Dodgers. All of the sudden, and this is what I wondered, for the teams that caught the bye, and I was talking about the Phillies, who are gone. I was talking about the Dodgers, who came into this hot. I was talking about the Guardians, whose bats woke up and gave 5 against the Tigers. And I'm worried about the Yankees, who have made it to the ALCS, but have done so despite the fact that their bats have not woken up at all. This is a tale of four cities when it comes to the four teams on the bye. Philly gone, Dodgers hot on the NL side. Guardians hot, Yankees cold, but both in the championship series on the American League side. The Dodgers strike first. They're up 1-0 in the NLCS over the Mets. 2 games tonight. The NLCS will have game 2 start off tonight at 4:08 p.m. out in Los Angeles. The Yankees will host the Guardians tonight at 7:38 in game 1. Cobb versus Rodon is your matchup. Neither one of these pitchers with a postseason win so far in 2024. So that's where we are. That's where we stand. 844-326-3663. 844-FAN-PHONE. That's the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. The text line 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and join us on the stream on Facebook, the YouTube, and the Twitch, The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate right there for you. Love to have you join the live stream. Lonzo and I are back to continue talking college football after this on The Fan Upstate. Ohio State, Oregon was everything that we wanted it to be. And then a little bit more. Great one. I don't know about everything we wanted it to be. Okay, that's fair.
I mean,
that's fair. It's not everything. Well, it's not everything you wanted it to be. It's everything that everybody else wanted it to be. What a game. What an absolute game that was.
What a mistake at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Howard wants that one back. That one hurt his feelings like a lot.
Oh, it hurt more than his feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one he's going to be sitting with for a very long time.
Well, hopefully you'll have a chance to make up for it.
Situational awareness is everything, dudes and dudettes. You kids out there, my dudes out there, I need you to keep those words in your head forever and always. Situational awareness means everything. If you are not situationally aware, you are going to find yourself in some real bad spots. And that is ultimately what happened to the Ohio State University Buckeyes. The situational awareness of one Will Howard just wasn't there. And for the record, the chance was there. I mean, honestly, the chance is there. Now, I also have to say this. Lonzo, I have given you a bunch of crap. I've given the Buckeye Nation a bunch of crap about Ryan Day and the fact that you brought up at one point on this show, if Ryan Day loses to Michigan again, he's done, right? Especially this year.
I was going to say especially this year with how Michigan is playing this year, for sure.
If he loses to Michigan again, he's cooked. And I've said a number of times, that's ludicrous. And I'm not talking about ludicrous. I'm talking about ludicrous.
Yeah, if he shows up in the studio like the commercial, we will do an interview.
I was kind of hoping he would. That's ludicrous. To me, that's a ludicrous take. And I've told Zoe this many times. Losing that game is not losing that game that way, with the exception of not having your quarterback coached up to handle that moment and that pressure, kind of like we talked about with Lenora Sellers, losing that game on the road at Autzen, there's nothing wrong with that.
As I told my wife, this is a Kansas City game, and that's what it ended up being. Whoever has the ball last more than likely is going to win, even though Ohio State had the if it was Patrick Mahomes, they would have won. But, of course, he's not. He definitely made a mistake. I just hope he's not getting a bunch of hate over that, because I think that's a mistake you can learn from. And at the moment, it's just like your heart sinks as you watch the...
When he took off, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, go down. It doesn't matter.
You have timeouts. You were cooked.
And also,
as soon as he crossed the line of scrimmage, I'm like, ball game.
I think they had it set up because they thought the clock had stopped, and it hadn't after that penalty. And I think that kind of messed them up because they lost, I don't know what, like 12 seconds or something because of that.
So
it was kind of a meltdown at the end.
One of the things that I was going to say there about why I do not look at Ryan Day and go, what a bum, after this loss.
By the way, I didn't know that either. So now I've learned about the clock doing that
is because Dan Lanning was a mastermind in the way that he handled that. So if you didn't see the end of the game, effectively what happened was this: Ohio State's got the ball, they are crossed midfield, they need a field goal in this spot, right? And the Ducks allow the Buckeyes, who need 10 yards. I think 12, if I recall correctly, Zoe, like 8 to get a first down, 12 to get into field goal range?
Yeah, something like that.
And so Dan Lanning sends out his defense. Ohio State sends out the offense. Dan Lanning waits until Ohio State's team is set up, ready to run the play. And then Dan Lanning sends a 12th defender on, intentionally so. Sends on a 12th defender. So obviously...
Wait, so you're saying, has he said he did that on purpose?
No, but I'm telling you he did. And I'll tell you why he did. It makes complete sense.
Well, he
sense.
Would never admit to it anyway, but I get what
Why
you're
not?
Saying.
I would. He played the rules.
It sounds like a little conspiracy going on.
I don't think it is at all. Here's what happened.
Because that would be, I know it's not cheating, but it's kind of cheap.
It's absolutely not cheating.
It's kind of cheap, though.
I mean, you would feel that way if it's done against you, and if it's your coach that does it,
I still would think it's cheap.
So let me explain what happened. Dan Lanning allows the Ohio State offense to get set up. After it's set up and ready to run the play, Dan Lanning has another defender run onto the field. This does a couple of things. It effectively, I'm not going to say prevents, but for Ohio State to run a play that would have gotten them into field goal position, they would have had to do it against an extra defender. They would have had to do it against an extra zone spot. And so they run this guy on. Lanning knows it's an illegal substitution penalty, which allows the play to happen, but also is decreasing dramatically the odds that Will Howard does something that gets the Buckeyes into field goal range, because you got an extra pass defender back there somewhere. And if nothing happens, it's a 5-yard penalty. Ohio State is going to have 7 to 8 seconds run off the play clock, which, correctly he assumed, would put them at about 6 seconds. And the absolute best case scenario for Ohio State, they beat an extra defender. Worst case scenario for Oregon is they beat a defender. Best case scenario for Oregon, nothing happens, and they have effectively sacrificed 5 yards to Ohio State In return for burning 7 seconds off the clock, Ohio State with 5 yards for free is still not anywhere near. They're still 7 yards short of a career long for the kicker. And on top of that, with all due respect to the horse chestnuts, Ohio State doesn't exactly have a pristine record when it comes to kickers needing to hit walk-offs right now.
Not lately.
Not lately. Sure.
Yeah, those seconds probably...
won Oregon the game.
It did. It did, because he would have had, what, 2 plays?
Yep.
Which would have got him you know, down in range.
If Howard does the exact same thing, but he does it with 12 and a half, 13 seconds on the clock, he's down with 5 seconds left, he clocks the ball,
I think they
and Ohio State's got a shot.
I thought they had a timeout left.
I don't think you did.
I'm pretty sure they had a timeout.
But even if you did, it's still one of the game.
There's just no time to call the timeout because there was no clock left.
Yeah. So, because of the addition...
I don't believe it, by the way. Everything that you just laid out makes perfect sense, but I don't believe he did it on
purpose. That's because you're a good person who expects that everybody is going to play squeaky clean and to the intent of the game and the rules. The reality here is that's a masterstroke from Dan Lanning. That's a beautiful moment of coaching from Dan Lanning. Yeah, I am going to willfully and intentionally violate a rule in order to create a situation where you guys are at a distinct disadvantage to me, and it would work like a dream. Will Howard goes out. He drops back to pass on the second to last play. There's nobody available. It's a dead play. You sacrifice 6.5, 7 seconds in return for 5 yards. Or I guess you sacrifice 5 yards for 6.5 to 7 seconds. And now the situation you find yourself in is Will Howard's got the ball. There's 6 seconds left. And by and large, unless they do something special, what I'm doing on defense in that spot is what? I'm going 3 high safety. I'm putting 2 guys on the outside. I'm putting 2 guys. I want your foot on the sideline. And no matter what wide receivers run at you, I want you between them and the sideline, right? So I got 3 back. I got 1 man in the middle spying on Howard. I'm putting guys on the outside, on the sideline. Do not let anybody get out of bounds on this play, right? And unless Ohio State does something special, most plays take 6 to 7 seconds to run. Because, again, you still needed 7 more yards to kick the longest career field goal of the kicker. So they really needed, realistically, more like 10 to 12. That's a 6-second play. So by running the extra defender out there, Dan Lanning says, we're going to make it nay impossible for you to pick up 7+ yards. And we're willing to give you 5 in order to burn half of what is left on the play clock off the play clock. We're gonna give you that 5 seconds.
Okay, I looked it up, and I was right. They did have another timeout.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's fine. But even still...
Because I'm yelling, get down, so you can take the timeout, and time just ran out.
Even if that's the case, you have still got to get the ball 8 to 9 yards down the line. To make it a long field goal for the win, you got to get it 8 to 9 yards down the field and get down and get the timeout called in 6 seconds. That's going to be tough. You're talking about, let's say Will Howard gets the ball out el rapido. 2.5 seconds. 2 seconds. I got 4 seconds for the ball to be delivered, received, downed, and a timeout called. That's tough, right? Dan Lanning played the rules. It's the definition of gamesmanship by Dan Lanning. It was a masterclass in that spot. And the thing is, even if you see it coming, even if you watch the extra guy come in, so there's nothing you can do there. If you're Ohio State, all you can do is run the play you had set up and hope you get the completion and get the 5 yards stacked on the end of it.
You're not going to convince me that it was on purpose. In the end, quarterback needs to be more self-aware, as you pointed out.
So you think, hang on, we'll come to Will Howard, whatever. You think Dan Lanning had 11 men on the field and just went, oh, we only have 10, and threw another guy out there. Like, I respect you wanting to give the benefit out. Here's the thing. He didn't do anything unethical. He played the rules brilliantly.
First of all, is he the person who sends out players? No, that's what assistant coaches do that.
In this case, Lanning was standing there and was shoving the guy on the field. He's like, go, 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 go.
I still don't believe it.
I mean, that's fine. But I'm telling you that's what happened. This is not a question. This is a statement. Dan Lanning said, if I trot a dude out there, I'm sacrificing 5 for 6 seconds. I'm giving them maximum 6 seconds to run a final play. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant football coaching. It's brilliant. And Dan Lanning deserves a pat on the back because he strategized himself into that W by taking advantage of the rules. It's just brilliant. All right. We'll take a look at some of the other big games from the weekend when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
New life.
All right, guys. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you here. On a soon-to-be, I'm looking outside the window. I think we're going to be in good shape. Lovely Monday morning. Let's get to it. We got a lot we got to get to.
You know, I love that the pictures are on the side of the building, but it distorts a little bit the day.
It does.
So it's hard to tell exactly.
Here's the thing. It is more important, great one. I gotta get you to Rob Brown ego levels. It is more important that the people outside see our face than our faces see the people outside. Okay? This is just a way to bring awareness of the vast amounts of handsome happening right behind that window to the folks driving Garlington Road.
I'm already there because I pulled up this morning and I'm thinking the TV cannot be on because the TV on, you can see it through the pictures. We don't need that. So maybe I'm going to have to send an email and ask that the TV be turned off every night. So when I pull up in the morning, you know, I don't see that through the pictures.
I mean, it does, you know, it is, again, very important that we see us, you know. That's just how it works. All right, let me get this out of the way. Gamecock fans of South Carolina, I owe you an apology. I owe you an apology because last Friday on the show, I said to you, don't watch this game. There's no sense in being sad. It's kind of like when I'm at the house at night and I'm watching television, the lady friend's gone to bed. I'm up in the living room. I'm watching whatever late night sports. I'm going to be up till midnight tonight watching ALCS baseball. When I'm at the house watching the sporting events of choice and the TV's on and, you know, I'm like half watching and half doing show prep. At some point, inevitably, I'm going to hear, in the arms of the angels. And you know what I do? I immediately leave the room. Because sad, one-eyed, homeless puppy dogs make my heart sad. All right? They just do. I am a giver. I donate to local animal shelters.
That's not unusual. I mean, don't most people feel sad when they
see that? No, I'm not saying I'm special.
Okay, all right.
I'm saying that, like many of you, when I'm watching television and I hear Sarah McLaughlin. By the way, is there a reputation you want to have less than Sarah McLaughlin's? You hear a Sarah McLaughlin song and you know everyone in a 15-mile radius is about to be sad as hell. That's not the rep you want as a performer, right? But if I hear Sarah McLaughlin's angelic voice wafting through my home, I know it's time for me to get up, go to the other room, grab a nice beverage, take a stroll to the other hand, go check on the wife, make sure she's sleeping okay, go pet my dog, go pet my cat. Be like, you lucky sons of biscuits, you. Hey, look at these dogs on the TV, all right? That's how you could be if it wasn't for me. You're welcome. I know it's time to leave the room because I know.
Wow. If it wasn't for me.
My dog got adopted out of a cardboard box in the Walmart parking lot. Yes, if it wasn't for me, my dog would have been a Walmart dog.
Dude, my cat's a rescue. I always get rescued.
Yes, your cat should know.
So, really? So yes. I should go tell my cat.
You're welcome. You're damn right.
But my cat's still trying to kill us. So get out from underneath my feet.
When I hear Sarah McLaughlin on the television, I know it's about to be a bad time had by all within a radius, right? Like I will mute the TV so that I don't accidentally make my wife sad in the other room. All right? So that was my assumption. I assumed when this game kicked off Saturday at noon, I was just going to walk over to the record player and put my Sarah McLaughlin vinyl down and drop the needle and just play sad, abused animal music for the next 3 hours of my life. And I said to you all on Friday, don't watch this game. Don't watch this game. The same way I would tell you, if you're watching television at night and Sarah McLachlan's voice comes on the speakers, whatever's on the TV, don't watch it. Don't watch. Don't tune in. Don't pay attention. Go find something else to do for the next 45 seconds, or you're going to be very, very sad, boy. And I don't want you to be sad, boy. All right? I want you to be happy. So go do something else with your time. Go garden. Go cut your grass. Take the wife to the antique store. Take the husband to the shooting range. Whatever. All right? I'm sorry. I'm embracing stereotypes. That's my bad. All right? Point is, go find something better to do on your Saturday afternoon than watch this game. And if you did that, one, you're an idiot. Don't listen to me. Why would you listen to me? Don't ever listen to me. I'm a moron. All right? I'm a gigantic idiot. Don't listen to me. But if you did not watch this game because of me, it's on you. But I still have to, anyway, apologize to South Carolina fans because the read was wrong, dude. The read was just wrong. I thought the Gamecocks were going to require this, and they didn't. I thought I was going to come in here today and do an entire segment backed by this song. I thought I was going to come in here. Do you know a Gamecock fan who's struggling today? Around the listening audience, thousands of South Carolina fans find themselves beaten down, depressed, on the verge of a mental breakdown. But you can help. For the low, low cost of just leaving them alone, you can give Gamecock fans a chance. Reach out, text, call, email, tweet your favorite Gamecock fans, and just let them know your thing. But you know what they said? They looked at me and they said, hey, Rob Brown, bleep you. Absolutely not. The boys brought it on Saturday. So I owe an apology because, see, what I thought happened against Ole Miss. Well, scratch that. Let me be real clear. I'm still right about my breakdown of the Ole Miss game. The game plan sucked. The discipline sucked. All right? The game plan sucked.
You are so bad at apologies. You really are, because this entire, starting out in the 6 o'clock hour when you supposedly apologized, I'm sorry. I was right. But I'm sorry.
I was right.
Yeah, but that's
I am sorry, and I was right.
That's not an apology, though.
No. Let's be clear.
It's not really an apology.
It is. But what you think is happening is you think I'm apologizing for my Ole Miss take and my Bama take. I'm not. I was spot on dead ass right about the Ole Miss game. I was wrong about the Bama game. I was spot on
you
dead ass wrong about the Rebel game. I was wrong of telling Gamecock fans they did not have a choice on Saturday.
I apologize on behalf of the university.
No. Stop. You're wrong. You're very wrong. You're very wrong. Here's what I'm saying. I was right about Ole Miss. I was wrong for telling Gamecock fans that you were going to get your asses whooped on Saturday. I was wrong for that. I was wrong for telling you didn't have a shot. I was wrong for telling you Bama was going to run you up out of Bryant Denny. I was wrong for telling you that this was going to be a program-defining L in a bad way. I was wrong. I was dead 100% top to bottom, left to right, up to down wrong about South Carolina, Alabama.
How's
I was right
feel?
About Ole Miss.
How's that feel?
But it's fine. I've been wrong before, like three times.
All right.
Like three times. But
not in the same decade.
Not in the same decade. No. Okay. I was wrong. Right. I think I was wrong in 2008. I think I was wrong in 2017. And now I was wrong in 2024. So, you know, I'm spreading them out. Spreading the love. Look, jokes aside, for like 30 seconds or so, I am proud as hell of the performance turned in on Saturday by South Carolina, because I was very concerned that loss to Ole Miss was a moment that a team could be demoralized. That's a moment that a team gets in the locker room and guys start splintering. It's a moment where the fan base is raucous. They're unhappy. They're upset. It's a moment where your coordinators are getting blasted in the public eye, by the media, by the fans, whatever. That's a moment where, realistically, a team could fracture. A team could look itself in the mirror and go, you know what? I'm just in it for me now. I got guys out here trying to make their NFL career. I got guys out here trying to audition for wherever they're transferring to next year. That's a game that Ole Miss lost That's a game that a team could implode. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. In fact, the criticisms that I had about this team after the Ole Miss loss, which were correct and valid, were fixed for Saturday. I said last Saturday, yo, the Gamecocks have bad offensive game plan. They fixed it. In fact, not only fixed it, but the things I said last week I was bothered by in the game plan weren't part of it on Saturday. The things I said I'd like to see out of the game plan, I did see on Saturday. I want to see offensive line blocking procedures going left and right, not straight ahead. You can't block into the teeth of the Bama defense. You have to make them move left and right, not north and south. You did that. I said I want to see Lenora Sellers be trusted to make a play down the field with the football. We saw that. I wanted to see Lenora Sellers having his legs utilized east and west to set up north and south. I saw that. I said I want to see Nick Harbor involved. Granted, I still haven't seen Nick Harbor as involved as I'd like. And I know it's a development issue, all right? The kid's coming over as a track star. We're 6-7 games in. He's going to get progressively better as a wide receiver. You saw the freak athleticism on that last touchdown to get that ball to come down to toe tap, put the tutty on the board, and give the Gamecocks a chance. I saw that. I said I want to see Rocket Sanders run the ball. What I don't want to see is him just chug-a-lugging off guard every single time. Give me some versatility in the run game. I saw that. All the concerns I had, but it was more than that. I said, I got to see a disciplined football team. I got to see a team that doesn't panic. I got to see a team that doesn't have a big moment down 27 and come up and make a jackass move that costs them 15 yards. I didn't see that. All the things that I said were problems with Ole Miss and all the things I said I thought were going to carry over and create a world where Alabama beats the ever-loving you-know-what out of you, those things got fixed. And so that's why I've said the spot for me now is the C word, consistency. Can you take last week and bring it to this week? Because you took the Kentucky game and you carried it to the LSU game. And you should have won that football game. We all agree. You should have won that football game. I think it. Lonzo thinks it. I'm relatively sure even Colin Diesel agree with us on that. That South Carolina should have won that game. But then you turn around and you ran it up against Akron. You better, right? You better. But then you absolutely bleeped the bet against Ole Miss. And I said, here are your problems. It's a bad game plan. It's a lack of these specific ways. And it's a complete lack of discipline. And all those things were out of the window on Saturday. My question is this a one-off moral victory? Is this a one-off moment that we look back and we go, yeah, that was a fun Saturday, but who the hell cares? Or is it consistency? Is it the C word? Are you able to take that performance and bring it to Norman, Oklahoma? Are you able to take that performance and go do the same thing against the Boomer Sooners, who are not as good as Alabama? We're going to find out. Saturday is a massive game for Shane Beamer because he will prove that he can keep that consistency, or he will make me believe that he cannot. And that's a benchmark. Also benchmarks, the top of the hour is when Lonzo blows your mind with his sports flash.
Yeah, that counts.
Hey!
I was going to say consistently bad, and then I proved it. Game one in the NLCS was a dominating performance by the LA Dodgers, ending with a 9-0 shutout win over the Mets. Dodgers had 9 hits, including multi-hit games from Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Enrique Hernandez. Game two is this afternoon at 4 p.m., while the ALCS starts tonight at 7:38. The new AP Top 25 poll is out, and 3 undefeated teams stand on top. Texas stays at 1, followed by Oregon and Penn State. And Ohio State is at 4, Georgia at 5. Miami, Alabama, LSU, Iowa State, and Clemson round out the top 10. Make sure you tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Eastside to take on the Eagles. It's Burns versus Eastside right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate.